Say, preacher's been preaching on revival and he's going to Exodus, so he must be preaching something new. Nope. Revival from Exodus. Exodus comes from the Greek rather than from Hebrew. It means a departure. Jesus used it as he spoke of his departure, going to the cross, dying, rising again, and ascending back into heaven. A departure. We're going to have a departure one day soon. It's called the rapture. Christ is going to come in the clouds and take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. For this book of the Bible deals with redemption, because redemption is required for a relationship with God. It's not enough just to be a member of a church. Not enough just to have been raised in a Christian family or going to a Christian church or not, whatever kind of church it was. But you got to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that is taught in the Scripture as the only means of salvation. And so this book deals with redemption in the types and the symbols of what was required for Israel until Christ would come and be the Redeemer, the Lamb of God. Redemption is essential for a relationship with God. God is holy and just and gracious and merciful, but he will judge sin, and that is pronounced, and that is revealed. Revealed from heaven in the past that God has judged sin. We know that the universal flood that took place as God destroyed the earth during that time frame. And a redeemed people who live for the Lord today have to, like Israel, go through cleansings in order to approach God. They went through ceremonial things, and we go through confession of our sin to God and the cleansing because of the blood of Christ. In order to worship and fellowship and service with God, we need cleansing, and that's our part. And to have redemption and protection and provision from God is his part for us. And he's provided for us the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now down in Egypt, some things were taking place with the nation of Israel. Look at verse number 6. Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also under our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick, all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into your word today, I ask for your help to bless your people. Feed us through the word of God, we ask. And Lord, if there's anyone who's not saved, we pray your blessings upon them. And this service today, in Jesus' name, amen. Now this Pharaoh, king over Egypt, knew not Joseph. Joseph, God had used to save not only the nation of Israel, which at the time was 70 souls that came down into Egypt to live, but Joseph was raised up to be the second ruler in the land, and God gave him wisdom in understanding dreams and visions, and he saw that there was coming a great famine. First, there was going to be a great 7 years of plenty, and then there would be 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh knew that Joseph knew the Lord and knew what was taking place, so he appointed him a ruler over all that would take place. And for 7 years, they stored up all of the plenty and got prepared for the 7 years of famine that was about to come. Israel was brought down into Egypt and given the best of the land because they were Joseph's people. Pharaoh did not receive them and bless them and give them what he did because of them. He did it because of Joseph and his love for Joseph. And my friends, one day God is going to accept us Unworthy as we are, we're going to be accepted not because of who we are and what we've done, but because of Jesus Christ, who is God's Son and has fulfilled perfectly the Father's will. He said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And because of that, those of us who have faith in Him will be received because of Him. Now, this Pharaoh is on the throne now and doesn't know who Joseph was. He doesn't know about the history. He doesn't know about Israel's part in saving the nation of Egypt as well. Egypt became the richest of nations during that 14-year period of time. As they saved up all the goods and all the rest of the land had famine, they sold corn and wheat and grain to all the other people. And Joseph was over all those things that took place. Now we see the Pharaoh wanted to kill off the male children of the nation of Israel so that they didn't grow mighty as a nation. So he told the midwives, when the Israel women have babies, destroy the men's children. But they feared God, and so they didn't do it. And the Lord protected them and provided for them, even though they had disobeyed Pharaoh about this. And the nation of Israel continued to grow. And so Pharaoh told the people, he said, when any Israeli has a male child, you throw him in the river. Now the Nile is the river of Egypt. And there was a lot of reasons that that was a dangerous place. And they were to throw the children. So in the house of Levi, there was a family that gave birth to a son. And they kept him hid for 3 months. And then they made a basket and put him in it and set him out in the edge of the waters. Now the flags, y'all know what those are, cattails. They're growing up out there and they hit him in those cattails. His sister's standing over watching, make sure everything's okay. Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe herself in the water and she finds this baby in the basket. And her heart is smitten. She said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." And she took that baby home and made him her own son. She named him Moses because he was drawn out of the water. And that's what that word Moses means, to draw out. God is going to draw out a people for His name's sake. He's in the process of doing that now, and He has always been in the process of doing that, even with the nation of Israel. Now, you know the story how that the sister came and told the princess, I could get you a Hebrew woman to nurse this child. And she says, "Yes, do that, and I'll pay her wages." So his own mother becomes the nurse to her child and is paid for doing it, and he's protected. Doesn't God work in amazing ways, miraculous ways, just unbelievable things that take place? Well, you know, as he got grown, he saw the burden of his people. And he really wanted to identify with his people. Hebrews tells us he chose to identify with the people of God in their affliction rather than to enjoy the treasures and the pleasures of Egypt. But his people didn't believe in him, and they didn't listen to him, and they didn't see that he was a leader that God was going to use. And so they rejected him. And he fled because of killing an Egyptian. And he went down and married a Gentile bride. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and Joseph as his type had also been through the same thing, rejected by their brethren, and then came and took a Gentile bride. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is doing the same thing, my friends. He was rejected by the nation of Israel. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the Gentile bride, turn with me to the book of Acts. Keep your bookmark here. We'll come back. In Acts chapter 15, you'll see Jesus' Gentile bride mentioned here. In Acts 15, John the Baptist said Christ was coming to make ready a people to prepare for the Lord. In Acts 15 and verse 14, Scripture says, "And Simon declared how God did at the first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." Verse 14. Now verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Now unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Verse 14 again. Simon hath declared how God did first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So that's the blessing upon us. We're not Jewish people by birth, but God has provided for us that we are the bride of Christ. But whether we're Jew or Gentile, we're one in the Lord if we receive Christ as our Savior. Schofield in his notes said about verse 14, dispensationally, this is the most important passage in the New Testament. It gives the divine purpose for this age and for the beginning of the next. The taking out from among the Gentiles a people for his name. The distinctive work of the present or church age. The church is ecclesia, meaning a called out assembly. Precisely, this has been in progress since Pentecost. The gospel has never anywhere converted all, but everywhere has called out some. After this, the outcalling, I will return. James quotes from Amos 9, 11, and 12. The verses which follow in Amos describe the final regathering of Israel, which the other prophets invariably connect with the fulfillment of the Davidic established, the Davidic rule over Israel, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles. This is the order also of Romans 11, verse 24 through 27. Now Israel was in bondage in Egypt. They were living under rigor, persecution. See, sin entices you. Sin seduces you. And then when it gets you where it wants you, it seeks to destroy you. And that's the way Pharaoh was acting with the nation of Israel. He put them in bondage and he put them in hard rigor. But God set them free by his power, and they began a pilgrim journey for the next years through the wilderness to get to the promised land. The promised land was an 11-day walk, but it took them 40 years to get there. We're kind of slow to catch on sometimes too, aren't we? And so was the nation of Israel. They had a promised land to go to, and it was their responsibility not to settle down along the way. God has a promised land for us in heaven, and we're not to settle down in this present world in which we live. We're on a journey with the Lord, and it is a pilgrim journey where you don't settle down among the people you labor and work with because you're going to leave to go home to your home in heaven one day when Jesus comes to take us there. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 through 17 beseeches us to live as strangers and pilgrims in this present world in which we live, on that journey with the Lord. Now, Moses was raised up as a deliverer to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the people of God go. And Moses was a type of Christ as the deliverer. He was a patient leader who interceded for his own nation. God would have destroyed them for their sin in the wilderness. And Moses said, if you're going to destroy them, take my name out of thy book as well. And he interceded, and God spared him. Jesus Christ intercedes for you and for me because of the precious blood of Christ. God forgives us of our sins and keeps us by his power. Now there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. If you're in the book of Exodus, look over at chapter 5, verse 2. I point out just one more verse to you there. Exodus 5 and verse 2. They came to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. There are a lot of people in the world today that are the same way. I understand the state of California and its government is basically doing the same thing right now. We don't know God and we don't want anything to do with God, and we're going to pass laws where you Christians, can't influence the state of California. They ought to take an ice pick and just chop that thing off the map and let it float on off somewhere and go away. Everything weird and wacky and way out comes out of Germany or California. And be very careful of anything that comes from either place. Well, this Pharaoh enslaved the Jewish people. He was a type of Satan. He killed their children. And you understand that Satan is behind abortion in America, my friends. He wants to destroy the next generation of people. He wants to keep those who might spread the gospel from getting there. He would have done anything to keep Christ from the cross, but he wasn't able to do that. But he'll do anything to keep you and I ineffective in our service for God by seducing us and luring us and tempting us. And if we fall prey, we lose our effectiveness for God. Their Passover was the type of Christ when they put the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts and began the pilgrim journey of following God to the promised land. To get there, they came to the edge and decided they couldn't go because there were fears. There was wonder if they could defeat the great enemies that lived there. You have to go by faith across Jordan, and then you have to battle to stay there. And that's like the Christian life. You enter it by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ through the work He's done, but it's a struggle all the Christian life in which we live, to battle with the sins of the flesh and the temptations and the trials of life. Just living life's not easy, friends. There are all kind of hardships and difficulties that we have to go through. That doesn't mean God's angry with us or mad at us or anything like that. He's strengthening us for what's going to come in the future. So now that was my introduction. Now I get to the message, and it's 12 o'clock. Number one, revival like Israel and Egypt. God's people live in this present world, and the world seeks to destroy us, the same way Egypt tried to destroy the nation of Israel. They had become in bondage to sin. Over and over, we've seen people get saved out of sin and have a changed life, like Israel was saved out of Egypt and had a new beginning. We've seen people who've gone back and gotten themselves under bondage again, addictions of every kind that lure them away from the walk with God. But we've seen people get rescued. We've seen people get encouraged. We've seen people experience the power of God to change their lives and get on that straight and narrow path with the Lord. The immoral have become moral. The alcoholic has become sober. Revival can take place and salvation can take place, and it brings about a change and a new beginning in the same way that Israel had a new beginning with God. Holiness was restored. Believers find, like they had the pillar of fire by day, no, had a cloud by day to overshadow them and guide them, and a pillar of fire by night to lead them. And the believer learns that God can lead you by His Holy Spirit in the same way, where you should go and what you should do and how you should live. If we study His Word and walk with God, we'll have that guidance that we need to go to the right place that we should be. It took God's power to bring about 10 great plagues upon the nation of Egypt. They really weren't upon the nation. They were upon the false gods that the nation of Egypt worshipped. I love, out of all 10 of them, most of all, I love the night with the frogs, where frogs were all over the land. They were everywhere. They were in their kneading troughs where they made their bread. They were in their beds. They were everywhere. Step on them, all that noise them things make and all that sort of thing. And Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "It's enough. Take them away. I'll let you go." He said, "When?" He said, "Tomorrow." Why in the world did he wait another day? Because people wait one more day in their sin. They have every intention. One of these days, preacher, I'm going to come to church. One of these days, I'm going to straighten my life up. One of these days, I'm going to start reading the Bible. One of these days, I'm going to make some changes to how I'm living. No, don't do it one of these days. Do it now. Don't spend another night with the frogs, my friend. Get out of sin. God can help you, and He will bless you if you do. When Israel obeyed God, He gave them the commandments from Mount Zion, and it revealed His holiness. He gave them plans to build the tabernacle And it would be a place where God would dwell with them and His presence would be with them. Israel brought into a new condition of freedom from bondage by the blood of the Lamb. The law gave them a new covenant relationship in their walk with God. And the tabernacle gave them a new companionship in their worship. And the same thing has happened to us when we enter salvation with the Lord and we are cleansed of our sin and we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives and we're in fellowship with God because of that. Secondly, today when you got saved, you entered that new relationship because of the blood of the Lamb. And there's a new worship and a new fellowship and a new service. But there's a continuous need for cleansing, to confess our sins, to be cleansed of our sins, to draw close to God. There has to be an intentional separation from sin in a believer's life to be in the walk with God that he would have him be in. We know there's coming a day where Jesus is going to take out of this present evil world a people for his name's sake, an exodus or a departure that we're going to go on. Revelation says soon. It's going to take place soon. We're looking for Jesus to come. He could come in our lifetime. He could come today. We're looking for Him. And that's the greatest incentive to live for God, serve God, and make sure your life is not in sin because Jesus could come at any time. Believing in the imminent return of Christ or the rapture when Jesus shall take out of the world a people for His name's sake is a great motivation. Titus said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Thirdly, Israel's redemption required a blood sacrifice, the lamb without spot and without blemish. And we know this is a type of Christ. Christ is not a type of the lamb that died for Egypt. The lamb was a type of Christ, who is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world for you and for me. They applied His blood on their doorposts. They ate the Passover of unleavened bread, which is a symbol of taking away sin from our presence. Israel saw the power of God. They saw the power in the plagues. They saw the holiness in the law. They saw the presence of God with the tabernacle. And we can experience those as well. Thank God we don't have to keep all those 600 laws that are given. Many are there ceremonial laws for the nation of Israel. Because we're not saved by the law, we're saved by the grace of God. We're not kept by obeying the law, we're kept by the power of God. It's all about God, His mercy, His grace. Therefore, we ought to be the most thankful people in all the world because He saved us by His grace. We have to be redeemed in order to have a relationship with God. It helps us become aware of the presence of God when we walk with the Lord and know His forgiveness. There's a new dedication that revival can bring, to provide a place for God to dwell. You know where the temple of God is today? It's in you. It's in me. This church is not a building. The church is the congregation, the people of God. And we are to be holy because we are the dwelling place of the Lord. And when we walk with God, this allows fellowship to be restored so that we walk with the Lord and know His presence. Fourthly and lastly, I say to you that God's promise to Israel was the land of Canaan, but to us it's heaven. But there's more than that. There's a new heaven and a new earth where we're going to dwell with Him forever and forever. Egypt was a picture or a type of the world. Pharaoh, a type of Satan. Moses, a type of Christ as the deliverer. Christ is seen in the Passover lamb, in the unleavened bread, the taking away of sin, in the person of Moses and the person of Aaron. Aaron became the first high priest of the nation of Israel. But we have a high priest who doesn't change. After Aaron died, his oldest son became the high priest. And when he died, the next. And when he died, the next. And when he died, the next. And all these lambs had to be slain, and all these red heifers, and all these offerings and sacrifices. But none of that has to take place any longer, because our great high priest ever lives to apply his own sacrifice on Calvary. Once for all, we're saved and forgiven of our sins. This attack from God was directly upon the false gods that Egypt worshipped as the type of the world in its material wealth and power. God delivered them from the world, but he gave them a greater place called Canaan. Houses they didn't build, crops they didn't plant. A place that God had been preparing since he told Abraham 430 years earlier, "Abraham, look about you. I'm going to give you all this land from the river of Egypt unto the river that comes through Saudi Arabia and through Iraq. And from these two rivers, all this land belongs to the nation of Israel." They've never taken occupation of all that property. Today, they got a tiny little minute amount of that. But there's coming a day in the kingdom, my friends, where all that land will belong to the nation of Israel. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign from David's throne in that day. And if you're saved today and you walk with God today, he's got a place for you in the kingdom where you will with him rule and reign for 1,000 years in the kingdom. And then he's going to create a new heaven and earth where we'll dwell forever and forever. It's all worth it, my friends, I promise you. We're looking for the day for Jesus to come. Let's draw close and ask his cleansing and forgiveness and walk with God. Let's stand together, please. Lord, I pray for your people here this morning, that you'll bless them and encourage them and guide us in our decisions of life, Lord. Help us to make the choices we should, and help us to decide upon what you've spoken with us in our hearts today through the word. If their decisions need to be made here this morning, if someone's not saved, deal with them now, Father. They might see your great love for them, your great sacrifice for them. Help them to understand we are all just sinners saved by the grace of God, and we long to have them come into our fellowship through faith in Christ. And now bless your people, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.